This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca. Joining us today in CIFA Radio Studios is Ekpeno John Ukut, president of the Afro-Caribbean Society of Northern BC, Phase 1 of their Black Faces Anti-Racism Project, or BFARP, is wrapping up. Ekpeno, the Afro-Caribbean Society of Northern BC has an office based here in Prince George, Clayliitané Territory. Thank you so much for joining us in CIFA Radio Studios this morning.
Thank you very much for having me.
BFARP. This project is occurring across three communities simultaneously.
Yes.
Which communities are they, and why did you choose these communities to start your project with?
So for now, although the organization, you know, covers the entire northern BC, but we had to select three northern communities that we know that we have a greater number of blacks resident in those communities. Prince George, of course, the capital of the northern, you know, BC, where we reside and where the project is starting. And then we also have in Smithers, we also have in Fort St. James. There are other, you know, parts of northern BC that we intend to have, but it's just that for now, we wanted to limit it to certain number of, you know, communities where we have a larger number of blacks resident there in a bid for us to be able to have more community engagement.
I suppose within the BFARP project, was there a particular mission statement?
For us, what we set out to achieve in the project is to help build community resilience and, you know, help, you know, support the mental health of community members. And in a bid for us to do that, that's how we were able to bring out numerous activities to help us achieve that, build community resilience, and then support, foster that unity and support the mental health of community members. So, you know, things like counseling, we have lots of counseling sessions. People have come in beyond only Prince George, because the way the counseling session goes, even our funders, the United Way, they also refer people to us from Vancouver, you know, for counseling. So we have physical counseling and we also have virtual counseling. Whichever one the, you know, community member requires, we have opportunities for that. And we have the sharing circle, which is also a secondary approach to counseling itself. And with lots of other activities that help build that community resilience that we are, you know, talking about. So the project started in October, you know, between October and the 1st of March. We did a lot, but the project, the first phase of this project ended on the 31st of March. So far, it has been an eventful one. There have been connections. There have been very meaningful conversations with community members. There have been very interesting revelations from community members where you really get to hear and know things that you wouldn't have known. A community member who, you know, came from Smithers for one of our sharing circle events, you know, clearly told us what she has been through. She's from South Africa. And so she explained clearly during the sharing circle the kind of treatment that she has received since she arrived, Canada generally. And this, you know, experience that she explained wasn't that new to some of us, because there are people who have experienced similar thing. So, which was the essence of the sharing circle. So we could share thoughts among ourselves and, you know, discuss and advise accordingly. Oh, maybe you can try this. So that's the essence of the sharing circle, which goes a long way to boost, you know, people's mental health. Because one of the things that we have, you know, noticed during our sharing circle is the fact that some community members are facing different kinds of, you know, mental health challenges as a result of different forms of racism, racial abuses, and all that.
I understand setting up an office was also an important part of this project. Do you want to tell us a little bit about it?
Our office is quite an interesting space. And why it is an interesting space is that it's not just an office. It is a safe space. So in our office, we have our counseling room, where if you even go there, you understand why we had to call it a counseling room, because it is actually a big space where people who are facing one form of racial abuses or mental health, you know, challenges or the other, go in there to have conversations with counselors. And we have in-house counselors. And we have counselors, you know, from different races And the reason for that is so that anybody who comes in, you know, will always say, okay, I prefer this counselor, or I prefer that counselor. And so whichever counselor that you prefer, we will always, you know, make that counselor available. So our office space is there, you know, which is a safe space for a lot of Black community members and even people who are not. Mind you, for the Afro-Caribbean societies, it's not only Blacks that are in the society. So we have members who are not Blacks, who are even Canadians. So what we do is that as long as, you know, issues that relate to Blacks are close to your heart, you can come and inform us and we will have you as one of our team members.
So within a lot of these discussions, you know, you began to find some common ground that people had with one another.
Yes.
And do you want to elaborate on any of that common ground before we get into, you know, what some of the actions that were identified as a priority? We should start here to address that. How'd you get to that point?
One of the common grounds that we came to realize during the course of this project was the issue of participation, community participation from community members. A lot of people would love to get involved in certain things, but when they sit back and look at the fact that, oh, they just realize that actually they are Black. And that kind of, you know, detaches them a little bit and they pull back. And that happens to a lot of people. And one very critical thing that we also came to realize, which also, you know, keys into the first one, is the fact that, you know, despite all this, the Blacks, they are strong, they are resilient, they go all out. You see, during the course of our conversations, we keep on making this same statement that when other people do certain things, 70%, when you see a typical Black person, the person will want to do that thing 125%. Not because the person wants to show off, but basically because the person feels like, maybe if I do 70% too, I might not be seen. If I do 70% too, they might not really recognize me. So the person goes all out to do 125% in a bid to at least put his or herself there in that space. And that's a very common thing that went across everybody that we, you know, that have come into this project. People kept on saying similar thing, that they do twice as more. They just wanted, you know, they just want to be heard. They want to be seen. So in a bid for you to be seen and heard, you need to do twice as more as other people are doing. So for us, that has been a very key thing that has, you know, that has cut across all the conversations that we've had throughout the course of the project, across all the events that we've had. That conversation has, you know, continued to go back and forth that, oh, we do twice as hard. We work twice as hard.
As far as the actions to address some of this, have some things been identified as starting points so that as an organization, you can move forward to begin to address some of these things in our communities?
Some of the key things that we have had conversations about, you know, in a bid to help community members to kind of resolve some of these things. I remember that during two of our trainings and even during one of our symposia, some of the speakers spoke about the fact that we should not, you know, alienate ourselves from the community. Get involved in the community. And when we say get involved in the community, it means that you should, you know, connect with people, help build the community, get involved in community organizations that are completely different from the Black community, for instance. And so when you get here, one of the key things that we've advised a lot of our community members to do, for a lot of them, they know it already and they do it every time. But you see, for some of them, especially the very young ones, when they come, you know, they kind of stay to themselves. And again, it also boils down again to temperament. So if you have those, you know, introvertive, you know, community members, you can't really blame them. They just want to be in their own space, in their own circle. That goes a long way to affect them, because for those set of people, they hardly even mingle with even people of their own races. So imagine when will they have time to go and mingle with others? So that becomes a challenge. So the advice from us, some of our speakers, has always been get involved, you know, in the community, help build community, you know, bond, connect with people across board. Don't only connect with people that you are close to. Connect with people across board. Break out of the circle and go all out and integrate, because that is the easiest way that people will begin to see you for what you are doing. So that for us has been the starting point that we have been talking to young community members on. For the older community members, most of them know already. Some of them have been in Canada for a long time. So they are the ones that we use to help us educate the younger ones so that they know how to find their way out of these situations. For most of the older generations of, you know, black community members who have been here for years, some of them face different forms of racism when they came to Canada those years. But they found their way out of it. So their experiences became a very strong point for us to use and, you know, inform the younger generation that are coming. Some of us that are just a year old in Canada, 2 years old in Canada, a couple of months old, we get to share our experiences with them and make them, help them become better community members. And during our last symposium, the mayor of the city made one very, you know, key point. And he said that we need to partner to do more for our Prince George community. And for me, that was key, because it kind of reiterated the point that a lot of our speakers have been saying regarding getting involved in the community and partnering to do, connecting to do a lot of things to help grow the community. So the mayor made that point that we need to partner to do more for our community. So that is it for us.
And within the Black Faces Anti-Racism Project, BFARP, within this program, a goal of it is to address racism in our communities. Certainly to do that, it requires people to learn. And within this phase of the project, are you also looking for general community members from, you know, Fort St. James, Smithers, Prince George to participate if they're comfortable doing so, if they want to add their expertise or just, you know, become available? Are you encouraging
the community at large?
Yes, we
are actually encouraging community at large. We're not saying that, oh, it has to be only this set of people or only in this community. Anybody, anywhere, even in Prince George, even if you are not black, you can indicate and say, oh, I want to be part of this project. Just like I pointed out, we have people who aren't blacks and they are part of the project. And during a banquet and award event on the 1st of March, it was an interesting event. And why was it interesting? It was interesting because more than 40% of the, you know, community members who turned out for that event were not blacks. More than 40%. They were Prince George community members who came all out to support us, to be part of the event, to celebrate, because it was also we celebrating the end of Black History Month, which was February.
What's next for this project and for the organization? What do you see? Phase one has been completed.
Yes.
Right.
However, the counseling, the sharing circles, those are still ongoing. Counseling and sharing circle, those two components of the project are the primary activities under the project. Every other activity are secondary. From the symposium, the workshops, sporting activities, which are all meant to build resilience, they are all secondary, but the primary, the key component of the project is the counseling sessions and the sharing circle, because those activities are the ones that will help us to actually unearth the things that people are going through. The reason why I said that it ended on the 31st of March is because our funding circle ended on the 31st of March. That's why I said it has ended. But the project itself has not ended, because despite the fact that our funding circle ended that time, the project is an ongoing project. It will continue and then eventually key into the second phase of the project, which is likely going to start in the later part of the year.
If people are interested in getting involved in this project, if they want to help out, if they want to see that phase two, you know, come to term and come to completion, how can they get in touch? How can they support your organization and what you're doing?
We have ways of being contacted. Our office is at 1750 Queensway South, Queen Street South. That's where our office is based. And of course, you know, people can also reach out to us through our website, you know, which is www.afcast.ca. AFCAS is AFCAS. That's AFCAS. And then we also have a telephone line that people can call at any point in time. And, you know, that's, there is always someone at the other end ready to respond at all times. And our telephone line is 1-778-983-5000. 5151. So at any point in time, you can always reach out to us. And if you want to reach out to us via email as well, you can email us at info.afcast.ca. info.afcast.ca.
Joining us today in Sifu Radio Studios is Ekpeno John Ukut, president of the Afro-Caribbean Society of Northern BC, Phase 1 of their Black Faces Anti-Racism Project, or BFARP, is wrapping up. Thank you so much for joining us in Sifu Radio Studios this morning.
Thank you very much.
This is Ian Gregg reporting for Sifu Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca.